The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Can we say a word of prayer? Father, we give you thanks for your mercies and your goodness to us as your people. We thank you for help that you have brought to us in this meeting. We thank you for help that you brought yesterday through your vessels. We are grateful for the great work you are doing in our generation. We are grateful for the work you are doing in Ondoye. Thank you, Lord God, for graces that you have poured into our hearts. We are forever grateful. Thank you for making us beneficiaries of your grace. Thank you for causing mercy to find us as a generation. Thank you for showing us ancient paths, ways that bring man to God. We are grateful, Lord. We do not take this for granted. Lord, I'm thanking you also for mercy that you are showing me, that you have shown me, and that you will still show me this morning, causing your thoughts to come upon my heart. I stand in trembling this morning. I stand not knowing what to say of myself. I'm not sufficient of myself, but my sufficiency is of you. And so, Lord, I come in alignment with the grace of Jesus in this house. I come in alignment with the grace that is upon this platform. I even come in alignment with the grace upon your servant and your handmaiden that you have used to raise this walk in this city. I ask for mercy, Lord Jesus. I ask that you show me mercy. I ask that you show me mercy. I ask that you show me mercy. I ask that your grace flows unhindered this morning from you through me to your people in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. The book of Matthew chapter 16. So let's start from verse 16. It says, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what we see here is a formula for building, or wisdom for building. So, I think it was Pastor Maker that mentioned that yesterday. I just want to also consolidate that thought. Jesus was giving us here the systematics of building God's house. Can we say amen? So it means that God's house will be built on layers of wisdom that we find in Christ and the Son of the living God. Let's just to buttress this. Look at John 20, verse 31. John 20, 21. Thank you for that. It says, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is what? The Christ. Then, Jesus is not just the Christ. Jesus is what? The Son of God. So, Jesus is both Christ and the Son of the living God. Now, what that means is that His name as Christ is a formation of wisdom against certain gates. Okay, I call it gates of sin. God's servant Reverend Busui mentioned that yesterday, that we have sin and death. Sin there is the darkness that is inside this world because of man's when man fell from. When man fell from glory, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that sin was not a total departure from God. It was just disalignment. That sin is we miss a mark. We fell short of a mark. And we sin. But that sin was not to the uttermost. God could still have recovered man. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Okay, now we have departure from God, which is a total disconnection from the possibility of reconnecting to God. That is the sin that leads to death, which we call hell. Can we say amen? So we see that Jesus has the wisdom in him that is a formation against both sin and hell. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now go back to that Matthew 16 verse 18. So that Christ the Son of the living God. Okay. Now look at the next verse. It says, and Jesus answered, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art what? Peter. And upon this rock will I what? Build my church. So this church is what we can call the army of the living God. Can we say amen? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this church, amen. This church will have to be a gate of heaven for it not to be susceptible to the gates of hell. Okay? So when you say gates, they are powers. Another word for gates. If you check scriptures very well, you see some translations use powers for gates. So when I'm talking gates, we're not really talking about, you know, when you think gates, two things that you open. It means that, but what a gate is a formation, is a formidable foe. Okay? It's a power, powers of hell. So powers are gates. Can we say amen? So for us to be formidable against the gates of hell, we must be made gates of heaven. Can we say gates of heaven? I'm going somewhere. Everybody say gates of heaven. See Genesis 28. There's this scripture where Jacob was departing from his father. Verse 17. Thank you. Thank you very much. He says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none but what? The house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So you can see, the first place where the house of God is mentioned, there was no physical building there. So we know that the house of God here is not a physical construct. It is a dimension of wisdom, or an interpretation of life, that is the house of God. Jacob is referring to the house of God as a dimension that opens the gates of heaven. So we know that the house of God is also the gate of heaven. Can we say amen? The house of God is the gate of heaven. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, he's talking about building the house of God, that is the gate of heaven, against what? Gates of hell. So gates of hell there can only be engaged by the powers of heaven. Because the gates of hell are also the powers of hell. Like I said, gates are powers. So, powers of heaven is the unleashing of the wisdom of God that can decimate gates of hell. Can we say amen? So, I'll build my church. So, this church will be built by the wisdom of the heaven, When I mean heaven, I'm talking about heavenly dominion, that is the building of God's life against the gates of hell. So I will build my church. So when this church, that means that this church must be raised by a certain dimension of wisdom that is formidable against the gates of hell. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the gates of hell will prevail against anything that is not the powers of heaven. If it's not raised by heavenly powers, it will be susceptible to the gates of hell. We are in the season where hell has opened his mouth wide. There's a scripture like that. When they say hell has opened his mouth wide, he's talking about that hell is going to unleash doctrines or sayings that will decimate man or build, because man is a building. What did I say? So when they say man is a building, that's why we are often referred to as desolations. Desolations is dilapidations that happen to buildings. So if man is referred to a building, it means that the essence of hell opening up his mouth wide is to break man down completely. And that is the season that we are in. Can we say amen? Thank you for the scripture. It says, hell, therefore, hell has what? Enlarged herself and what? Open her mouth without measure. This is serious. When I say without measure, meaning that there will be a season where the depths of hellish life will be poured forth upon man. Okay? So, Jesus is saying that the solution to gates of hell or the advance of hell upon humanity and the church at large is a church that is the gate of heaven. So, by gate of heaven, we are talking about what? The powers of an heavenly life. Can we say amen? Or the powers of an heavenly dominion. Now let's go back to Matthew. He now says, now verse 19 now says, I will now give you keys. And I will give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven. When they say keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about keys of an heavenly dominion. This heaven is not the physical heaven. We know that. Can we say amen? This heaven here is the revelation of an heavenly dominion, which man can access, which is the original calling of God for man. Man, amen, was supposed to fellowship or make progress into an heavenly dominion. That's why Jesus in John 3 says that if I speak to you things of the earth and you don't understand it, that's in John 3. Meaning so, all the pop concepts or all the things that Jesus taught about the new birth, okay, and about being born of the Spirit, we're still earthy. Now, when I mean earthly, yeah, it's not talking about carnal. Amen. We know that. Can we say amen? Earthly, yeah, it's not carnal. Jesus was not talking carnal things. He was talking about things of an earthy dominion, which are things of Christ. Can we say amen? Christ is the revelation of an earthy dominion. What did I say? So when you say Christ, Christ is the earth of God. So teaching Christ is having the key of an earthy dominion as God has originally intended it. So all that Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was telling him about things that can make you first an earthy man. Because for you to access an heavenly dominion, you must be an earthy man. Can we say amen? Or you must be Christ. Christ is the man that can access heavenly dominion. So he says, I have told you things, earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I what? Tell you of what? Heavenly things. So for you to be told heavenly things, you need keys of the kingdom of heaven. The essence of those keys is to unlock a wisdom that will make you heavenly. Can we say amen? So heavenly things are powers of heaven. Powers of heaven are the revelation of things that are heavenly, that are the secrets of an heavenly dominion. Because gates of hell are everlasting dominions of hell. What did I call gates of hell? So what is man is against? Are things that are They have everlasting strength. They have gates of hell have everlasting strength. And that is what we are dealing with. Amen. Now, I want to finish with John 3. I'm coming back here. Amen. Take me back to that John 3. Thank you. Look at the next verse. Let me read down. It says, and no man has ascended up to heaven. You can see that. No man has ascended up to heaven, meaning no man has come into the heavenly dominion, or no man has come into dwelling in heaven, or having access to the heavenly life, which is the purpose of the keys of heaven. Those keys of heaven, they are doctrines of heaven, or doctrines of heavenly life, teachings that can make man heavenly. So no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that what? Came down from heaven. And even the Son of Man, which is what? In heaven. You can see. So while Jesus was talking to them, he was saying that I am in heaven. So Jesus was not talking about being in the physical sphere, what we know as heaven as a planet. Jesus saying that as I am speaking, I have a key, or I am possessing an heavenly dominion. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I have a revelation of an heavenly life that God originally called man for. Man was supposed to be an heavenly dweller. Someone that abides within the dominion of an heavenly life. So, no man has ascended into heaven. So you can't ascend to heaven except things of heaven are taught to you. Or heavenly things are revealed. So, heavenly things being revealed needs what? Keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let's go back there. So those keys are the wisdom to unlock the heavenly life. Okay? That will make the church formidable against the gates of hell. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give unto you. So they will give a kind of church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. For you to have heavenly keys, you must have the key of Christ, which is the key of the earthly dominion. What did I say Christ is? The earthly dominion. So we can now conclude, sir, that all the mysteries of the kingdom, they are all keys of dominion. The mystery of Christ is a key of a Christ dominion. And the keys and the mysteries of the Father and God are all what? Keys or mysteries of an heavenly dominion. Can we say amen? All of them are supposed to be embodied. They were all embodied in a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ had all the mysteries. So Jesus Christ is a raising from earth to heaven. Jesus is a raising from earth to heaven. He is a building of righteousnesses. So dominions are also righteousness. You know a dominion by the righteousness that dominion keeps. So Christ has in himself a name of an earthly dominion, which is the righteousness of the head. Now, amen. When I'm talking about earth, I'm talking about God's head. I'm not talking about this present head. You know, it was Peter that told us, Pastor Tosin, that we should look for a new what? New heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, meaning the new heavens and the new earth are all strata of righteousness, which define secrets of dominion. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So your dominion is attached to the revelation of righteousness you keep. What did I say? Your dominion is attached to the revelation of righteousness that you keep. So without righteousness, there is no dominion. What we call kingdom are dominions that are revelations of righteousness. You can't be a kingdom or a possession of a kingdom without righteousness. The righteousness of that kingdom must be revealed to you for you to hold that domain. When you hold the domain, you are a keeper of a righteousness. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is saying, that the church he will be built on layers of righteousness from the earth to the heaven, because what we are against are also layers of unrighteousness from the earth to the heaven. Can we say amen? What the church is against are also heavens. So we also have a negative earthly dominion, which is what I taught you yesterday. Principalities, powers, and what? Rulers of darkness on this world. They are negative Christ. They are actually anointed. They are also anointed ones. You know, Christ is the anointed of God. Can we say amen? When you say somebody is Christ, he's anointed or empowered to know God. So we know that the spirits of principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness, they are negative anointed ones that have in their possession a counterfeit dominion against those that are called to heaven. So the essence of those spirits is to stop an ascension. Can we say amen? So if no man ascended, for you to ascend into an heavenly dominion, you must break powers from spirits that hold men, they hold men here. They make men worldly, that's the word. When you say you make men worldly, you make men are here. You hold them bound under the forces of carnality. They are spirits that teach men to be carnal. Those spirits can only be decimated by a wisdom that is in Christ, which now eventually grants you access into an earthly dominion. So, a Christ soul is one that has the powers of the earth. No wonder Jesus said, all powers in heaven, what? And on earth. Can we say amen? I just want to strengthen this, okay? And Jesus came and said to them, all power. I like the word all powers. All powers here is all righteousness. In as is given to me, where? In heaven and in the earth. It has been given. I like the word given. Jesus Christ fulfilled the parameters for those righteousness to be given to him. Okay? All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, you can see. So those powers are righteousness. Peter said we should look unto what? A new heaven and a new earth. Where dwelling righteousness? Jesus says, I am the new earth. I am the new heaven. I possess the dominions of heaven and of the earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Matthew 16. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we are supposed to teach nations power. And in teaching nations this power, you are building nations here. When you say all nations here, amen. You know, oftentimes when we see all nations, we see it first as geographic nations. So go to Japan, go to Malaysia and all that. Well, it has that expression, but it's beyond that. All nations here are souls. Can we say amen?
Amen.
All of us have nations inside us. You have some people that are here. All of us, we represent souls of nations. All of us here. It's even possible in this auditorium, we have souls of men of all nations. I'm telling you. It's possible that we have. So he's talking about souls of men. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them what? In powers. So the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I think it was Reverend Busui that taught us that. It was Paul that rearranged this. Eventually, when Paul began to teach Christ that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is now Christ the Father and God. It's still the same thing. Am I right? Can we say amen?
Amen.
So teaching them. So you are supposed to teach a dominion of life to men, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So you can see, this is now revealing powers or secrets of dominion to men, which is the reason why keys are given. So keys are given to unlock powers. Hallelujah. What did I say? Keys are given to what? Without keys, you can't unlock powers. Those keys are access to secrets. They are doctrine. Doctrines are keys of power. So when you are handling doctrine, you are handling power. Pastor Parks, you are handling power. A teacher of doctrine is a giver of power. Because that's how they arrange righteousness in men. They arrange righteousness in men by powers. And Spirits also arrange on righteousness in men by powers. So when you say righteousness, you're talking about formation of nature. Your righteousness is your nature. It's your life. So the essence of doctrine is to wield the nature of righteousness in you that will now give you a dominion of life that becomes your life. So powers end up becoming life. Your power is your life. Your life is your understanding or your wisdom. So I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I love that. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bind on heaven. I don't know. We use all these things for prayer. We use it for prayer. But Jesus is not talking prayer here. Whatever thou will bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you bind things in men and lose things in men. I like the way you bind. So you need keys to bind. What are you binding? Operation of gates. I'm not hearing your amen. I'm not speaking with fire this morning. Amen. I'm teaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did I say you are binding? Operation of gates. So you bind and you lose. So you bind the operation of gates and you lose operation of God. You are binding and losing. It says, whatever we bind on heads is shall be bound. So keys are necessary to bind, and keys are necessary to what? To lose things. Can we say amen? So, when you come under the teaching of a New Testament priest, things are being binded. That's why you bind things. There are certain times they first chain you. the way there's one angel, I think in Revelation chapter 20, that chains the dragon and put him in the bottomland. Those chains are not their powers. So there are certain operations of sin and death that must be chained in men. Can we say amen? You bind things, you cripple the operation. So that's the essence of keys. So those keys, they unlock what? Powers to bind and to loose. Can we say amen? And it gives you access into a dominion. Can we say amen? John chapter 3. That same John chapter 3. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So gates, like I said, gates of hell are powers of hell. And those powers, what they are doing is to make man a desolation that God can no longer inhabit. When you say somebody is dead to the uttermost, it means God cannot recover that person anymore. That is the function of a gate. You see, the gate of hell is to make man uninhabitable by God. Meaning man is a total desolation. That God cannot inhabit anymore. That man is already useless to God. A man can be useless to God. If a man dies twice, a man is useless to God. God cannot recover such a man. The essence of God recovering a soul is to inhabit that soul. Can we say amen? Amen. So if a man dies twice, and these things are not far-fetched. In the book of Jude, I was wondering, that one letter of Jude, it was a war epistle. Only God knows what was happening in the church then, because Jude mentioned some men twice dead. Oh my God. I can't imagine this. He says they are twice dead, plucked from the roots. So when you say powers of hell, don't look too far. They are around the environment of churches. Gates of hell. I'm not even talking about gates of hell amidst humanity. Gates of hell is taking humanity already. Far, 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 far. All this LGBT stuff that we are seeing, the operation of gates. They are not ordinary. That's gates of hell. When somebody that is a Lord, God made a man, becomes a woman, how will God find such a soul? That thing is not an ordinary thing. That's a high level of denaturing. When LGBT is an operation of a gate of hell, and the essence of that gate is to make, it is supposed to make salvation impossible. Amen. I want you to follow me this morning. Can we say amen? Amen. It's supposed to make salvation impossible. The LGBT is a teaching of desolation. It's a teaching of desolation that will make it difficult for God to save a soul. So we already have desolations amidst mankind. Okay? We need to be careful that that gate is not open in Nigeria. I'm believing God that it will not be open. Can we say amen? I'm believing God that the word of righteousness will have grown and begin to cover the nation from such spirits. They want to come into Nigeria. They want to come into Nigeria. But God is showing us mercy. But I'm believing that the word of righteousness would have, you know, will have gone far before those spirits start coming. They are desolations. But I'm even telling you that there are also desolations in the church. Doctrines, they are powers of desolation. Like I showed you in Jude, men died twice. While the time Jude was writing that epistle, he says some of these men that I'm talking about, they are twice dead. And they were walking. They were breathing oxygen, eating food. You don't understand what I'm talking about. But they were twice dead, and they were plucked from the roots. So I'm trying to tell you that when we say gates of hell, they are doctrines that can make you useless to God. To be useless to God means God can't save that soul. Because the purpose of saving a soul is to inhabit that soul. Can we say amen? So the solution to gates are keys. Keys. When you want to deal with gates, you need to bring forth keys. It's not as difficult as we think. You don't decimate gates by just praying. Thank God for prayer. You need to unlock wisdom or powers of heaven by righteousness. So when you're unlocking powers of heaven, what you are doing is that you are teaching heavenly righteousness. What we call everlasting righteousness is heavenly righteousness. It's for men to live an heavenly life. Can we say amen? So it's possible to be heavenly on the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By when you have been taught the heavenly life, you can now begin to manifest that life here. So Jesus said, no man has ascended up to heaven. Meaning that is the original intention of God for man. For man to take his ascent from the earth into heaven. Okay? So no man has ascended into heaven. All the ascensions we saw in the Old Testament, they were not of the New Testament order of ascension. We had men that ascended in different ways. Well, Jesus said, no man. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Like Jesus also said that no man has seen God at any time. And then we had people that saw God, recorded that they saw God in the Old Testament. What Jesus is saying, that they didn't really see God. Amen. That was not how to see God. To see God is not to see his frame physically. Like some elders saw him. And you know, when they were on the mountain, the Bible said they ate and drank and they saw God. And then John said that no man has seen God at any time. So like we also saw that some men ascended physically into heaven. Jesus is saying that no man has ascended to heaven. Save the Son of Man that what? Came down from heaven. So this heaven here is a life. Is a dominion of life that Jesus Christ, you know, lived because of an understanding that he had. So even the Son of Man that is in heaven, quickly, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what? Lifted up. I like that word, lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Look at that. Should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Amen. Now, verse 16 is where I'm going. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. So, the giving of the Son of God is supposed to stop desolations. Can we say amen? So, should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. So everlasting life is the revelation of a wisdom that is in the Son that can arrest perishing. Everybody say perishing.
Perish.
Now, believe me, laws of hell are already in us. They may not be active, but they are dormant. For you to think that, you know, when you think of hell, you are thinking about something far. No. I don't know who said it. I think it was God's servant. He said that we have all partaken of hell in different phases. So, hell is a nature dormant in man. It was programmed by sin. It's a gene that we inherited by nature. It's inside us. The only thing is, it needs to be, once you are taught, once the powers of that life are unveiled, that nature can be grown in us. Can we say amen? That's why the apostles won churches against second death. Because men can cut covenant with disobedience and race into that life where they are totally cut away from God. So the revelation of the Son is given, this living Son. So Christ is to awaken you from sin. When Christ is being taught, awake, awake, O Zion. Put on thy strength. I like the word Christ. So Christ, inside Christ are two awakenings. Hallelujah. What did I say? Yes, there are two awakenings. Christ will awake you twice. When Christ fully awakes you, you are now a Zion. When you say someone is Zion, he has awoken twice. Those are not ordinary. They are mysteries in the dimension of Christ. So the revelation of life and peace in Christ are two awakenings. You see scripture like, in after 2 days he shall revive us. And on the third day, he shall raise us up. You know what he said after 2 days? I know we can look at it in many ways. But Christ is a reviver. The real revival is the teaching of Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. And it's a teaching of 2 days. Okay? It's a teaching of 2 days. Christ will... That word revive is to give life. In the Hebrew, revive is chaya, is to give you life. So Christ gives life by teaching. So the awakening in Christ is to awake, awake. It's not an ordinary thing. Those prophets were men of doctrine. Awake, awake. When they want to make you Christ, you have to be awoken twice. The first awakening is to give you life. The next awakening is to give you peace. Peace is also life. Peace is also righteousness. It's just a righteousness that can attract heaven. That's what peace is. What did I say peace is? It's a righteousness. And peace is a domain in God. Like we know that Christ is the first dominion in the kingdom of God. Peace is the nearest dominion to the heavenly dominion. When you say somebody is in peace, it's very close to the heavenly dominion. So, when a man is in the dominion of peace, he can easily attract thoughts of heaven. Hallelujah. You will come into a season in your walk with God where it will be easy for thoughts of heaven to come to you. You will just naturally attract them. You know, when we say ascension, what you are thinking of, amen, is a spectacular experience. Amen. Amen. You may not ever see an angel in your life. I don't know. Maybe Pastor Thompson has seen all kind of cherubs. Amen. I don't know. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I had one daughter. She's a very dear daughter now. The first time I met her, it was war. She told me that God told her to come and meet me. I said, okay. So she was not sharing her encounters with me. She has fed from some streams. You know, I can't mention the name of those streams, but you know, you will know them. And she told me that she has seen four-faced cherubs. She was telling me. She even told me that Gabriel came to her room last night. She was telling me. So I was just looking at her. I allowed her to talk. So I said, where is four-faced cherub in the Bible? And I said, what are their functions for? She was just looking at me, so I started teaching her. I said, a four-faced cherub cannot come. I said, they can't come to your room. I said, they don't come to people's room. But she believed it so much. She argued and argued. Then later now felt I should leave her alone. But the only thing that kept her was that the Lord now told her that she should still submit to me. He said, the Holy Spirit still told me that I should submit to you. I said, okay, follow the Holy Spirit. So after 2 years of teaching, she came back to meet me that she was thanking me. She said that she didn't know what kind of delusion. I said, there are spirits. There are spirits you encountered by doctrine. Some encounters can be real, but they are false. They are real to you, but they are false. Because false doctrine can create illusions. Illusions that have no ground in God. So I'm just showing you how powerful doctrines are. Can we say amen? So you are nearer to an heavenly dominion when you are in the dominion of peace. And Christ is the giver of those dominions. So Christ, when you are teaching Christ, you are awakening men. You are calling men out of his sleep. Give you the light. Awake. Then he said, awake. Thou that sleepest. He's talking about the soul. It's not the spirit. The spirit is already alive. But the soul is sleeping. So the soul needs two awakenings to fully come into the light of Christ. So therefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from what? The dead. So this is a resurrection from the dead. Which is the doctrine of Christ. Another word for the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is what initiates the resurrection from the dead. And that resurrection is twice. It's in two seasons. Okay? They give you awakening twice. So, wherefore he awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Take me back to that scripture. It says, awake, awake, O Zion. Put on thy strength. So the strength of Zion is the dominion of peace. So, because a man in peace also has joy. Because you need joy. This is how I say, you need joy to take a leap into heaven. So the strength of ascension is joy. That's why here scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a garment. It's the first garment that they give you after you have been awoken twice. Can we say amen? Amen. So you can see those beautiful garments, they are heavenly garments. In the spirit, garments are kingdoms. What did I say? Garments are dominion. You know, I've been talking dominion. Your dominion is your garment. You know the story, sir. When Saul tore the garment of Samuel, and Samuel told him, he says, "You have torn the kingdom has been taken away from you. So what men wear are kingdoms. So when you have been resurrected from the dead and awoken twice with the doctrine of Christ, you will wear the kingdom of Christ. You can wear the kingdom of Christ as your garment. I can't hear your amen. Meaning what I say you are wearing as a garment, those garments are nature garments. They are customized. I've seen some of those things. I've had experiences where I saw customized garments given to people. The thing are like mantles. When they give it to you, it will look like a shapeless mantle. But when it enters you, it will just become a cloth. It will not just cover, it will fit you. I've never seen that kind of thing before. So I now know that Christ is a spirit. It's a garment that you can wear. In the realm of the spirit, those are the things that they see as your identity. It's not Dimeji Thompson. They don't know all those things. What they know is, what are you wearing? What nature are you wearing? Based on your on the righteousness that has been done in you by doctrines. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So awake, awake, O Zion. Put on thy strength. So the strength of Zion is the garment of the new man. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Then we'll read down to 24. So that means that what the gates of hell wants to give men are also garments.
Yes, sir.
So men can wear hell. I think it was Pastor Baker that was saying it yesterday. If men can wear heaven or wear garments, heavenly garments, it means men can wear hell. To wear hell is to be a carrier of powers of hell. So like I said, gates are powers. And men wear powers. Men wear powers as nature. So when you see some people possess a nature, they are powerful. Your nature is your power. So someone says that, I have madness. You know, in Yoruba, it says, Moniwereo. Have you ever heard some people say, ah! This guy, no, say I curse. I get madness. See, meaning, I don't need to borrow madness. It is here. So meaning, madness is an inheritance. It's a power. All of us have different kind of powers. And they are your garments. They are given to you by spirits, by teaching. They lead you by teaching over time. And then they give you a garment. It becomes your power. So as it is in the negative, it's also in truth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So for you have not so learned Christ. So learning Christ is the giving of the nature of Christ. That's the essence of learning Christ. And it's to give you the dominion of Christ, which we call an etty dominion. Okay? So if so, you have what? Heard him, and what? Have been taught by him. These are also two seasons of learning Christ. You need to first hear him. It takes time to be taught. Now, hearing is also part of teaching, but, you know, when you hear, you need to hear. Why do you need to hear? When you are hearing, hope is being painted to you. Promises that are like hope. For faith cometh by. How does faith come? I like the word faith cometh. So faith works. There's a way faith comes to you. Faith cometh. Faith is like a spirit that comes to you when you have caught covenant with hearing for a while. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you need to hear. After you have heard, they have gathered your heart. You see this teaching. If so, you have heard him and been taught by him. The essence of this teaching is to cut covenant with you. So you will hear and then you'll be taught. And when you are being taught by truth, the essence is to now establish you in Christ. For if so that you have heard him, you have to hear. At times you may hear Christ for 5 years. Consistent hearing. Now, to sit down to keep hearing is not a waste of time. And at times when you are hearing, they will now demobilize other things that can stop you from hearing. That's when some things shut down so that they can pay attention. What they want to do is to, they are developing ears. They're first developing your ear to hear, because your ear is dull or is not sensitive to such thoughts. So they'll first develop your ear. After a while, they start giving you sight. Then they'll now start establishing you in the land of Christ. Can we say amen? The essence of teaching is to give you a dominion. God is a dominion God. He did creation in different spheres of dominion. God is a dominion being. Eternal life is a dominion. Everlasting life is a dominion. What God wants to give man is what? An everlasting dominion. For him to come into an eternal dominion. He will not do that if he cannot communicate. He will do it in systematic seasons of being you being taught. You will hear and you'll be taught. You will hear and you'll be taught. You will hear. And you'll be taught until you are established. Now look at it. Verse 22. How I know is that. Then put off. That you put off concerning what? The former conversation, the old man. And I know that, you know, I normally encourage people that they should not quickly give up concerning putting off some natures. Some natures, they don't quickly go. Because what did that nature is an everlasting spirit. You know some nature, like my wife was teaching on Sunday in church, and she was saying that, you know, when you get born again, there are some natures that leave you immediately. Some just leave you immediately. But some stay. You know, some people, they are hearing Christ. They have heard Christ, and they are still lying. So that lying. Because normally, in my own mind, you know, I'm a pastor. In my own mind, I feel milk should deal with lying. Milk. When you hear milk, well, good milk, You shouldn't be lying to pastor again. With good milk. Amen. But amen. Ah, man, people, they lie, sir. Hey! And you know, I had to learn practically in pastoring. I've been doing this for a while. 10 years now. So, I was very naive. I treat all the saints as holy people of God. We learned on the job. I know Pastor won't say I learned before he started pastoring, so he's very wise. We learned on the job. I believe everybody. Okay, Pastor, this is where I'm going. Yes, I know. That's where you're going. Then later I will ask, but you said you are going this place. Say, brother Timothy, you said. Brother Timothy is a liar. So that nature is not an ordinary nature. That nature has everlasting strength. So we have natures that have everlasting strength. Yes. Some natures cannot. What will take them away is an everlasting word. They cannot. You just find that thing will just be there. It's a sickness. It's a disease that needs healing. And there's a kind of medicine that can catch it. It's not all bacteria that some kind of antibiotics can catch. So you need a kind of... So that's why, you see, in the New Testament, you need auspices of light, wisdom to know how to reach souls. So putting off is in a season. You don't put off once. You put off continuously over a season of hearing and teaching. That's the essence of hearing and teaching. You are putting off. That you put off the... And what you are putting off is a kingdom. So when you say put off the old man is a kingdom. What did I say the old man is? This is the kingdom of darkness. That you are wearing as your life. And that is what they see you as in the realm of the spirit. You know, this is the problem with new creation reality. He says, I am, this is who I am in Christ. Yes, that is who your spirit is. But whose spirit, these spirits, they are not seeing you like that. They are seeing you based on the clothes you are wearing. Guy, Ashwa Lungosa. Guy, you wear our clothes. Man of God. Hallelujah. Prophetic apostle. Hallelujah. Please give us our clothes. Meaning you are wearing our clothes. We know the story of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. The guy wanted to enter into high priestly service at another level. Satan came. Say, this guy not go fit go into this realm. Why? He is wearing our garment, meaning he has our nature. In that experience, it was as if Zechariah was even unconscious of it. So the identities you have in the spirit that you don't even know, natures that you carry, that spirits are seeing you that you don't even know. Hallelujah! The guy didn't know. God had to fight on his behalf. I said, God will show us mercy. Accusations are really in the realm of the spirit. When they bring accusation before you, what they do is to show mercy by cleaning you up. God will never overlook an accusation of a nature. Jesus will just plead for mercy. And in Jesus pleading for mercy, they will now send help to you to derobe you from that garment. So you have to put off. When you are putting off the old man, you are putting off the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is a garment that we inherited by nature. So if we are going to break covenant with that kingdom, we need seasons of learning of Christ. Can we say amen? Yeah. This is making you a soldier. Because you cannot put away the old garment. It's war. It is war to put off the old man. So you can now see, changing nature is doing warfare. Hallelujah. What did I say? So when you are changing nature, you are putting off. That's how you are doing warfare. Because the old man does not want to leave you. He's attached to you by covenant. So you need to obey doctrine of Christ and cut covenants with life. And cut covenant with peace to now take off the old man. Tear off the garment of the old man. So that you put up concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. According to what? The deceitful lust. And be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. But first be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? That spirit there is nature of your mind. So the new covenant is in two seasons. They will first put it in your mind and write it in your heart. So what they will first put it in your mind, then write it in your heart. I was wondering that why the Bible render it that way. It says, I will put it in your mind and then write it in your heart. It's not the same thing. What they have not put in your mind, they can't write it in your heart. So the writing in your heart is a slower process of now repeating the nature in your heart. But they will first put it first. The one in the mind looks like a first installation for a second work to be done. Look at that. I will put my laws first in their mind. So it's, yes, then I'll now what? Write it in your heart. Then it's now established. Now if they put it in your mind and it's not written in your heart, you can still lose it. So those are two seasons of finishing the work inside us. Can we say amen? So go back. And you put on the new man. So putting on the new man is putting on the dominion of Christ. This is Christ. Until you put on the new man, you have not regarded in the spirit as a full Christ. Because they relate with us based on our garment. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And then you put on the new man, which is after God. I like the word after God. So the new man is after God. Created in what? Through righteousness and what? Holiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So take him back to Isaiah. So, awake, awake, O Zion, put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garment. Then, so, now you have put on the garment of the new man, which is the dominion of Christ. Then you now have to now go on to put on beautiful garments. Everybody say beautiful garments. Those garments are heavenly garments. Beautiful garments are heavenly garments. Beautiful garments are heavenly dominions. They are everlasting dominions. They are living dominions. This is the realm of the living. These are living garments that a man will put on and is robed with God. They are garments of light. Heavenly garments. It was in the Exodus that scriptures was referring to Aaron. That you'll be given garments for his glory and beauty. That's in Exodus. Exodus 29. Let's look at that. Then we'll come back here. Then I'll tie up my thoughts in Psalm 110. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, on Zion. Put on thy what? Beautiful garments. Okay, thank you. And thou shalt make holy garments. I like the word make. When they say they are making garments for you, it means they are customizing it for you. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for what? Glory and for what? Beauty. So those are everlasting garments, eternal garments. They make them. So doctrine that is obeyed is the making of a garment. Let me say that again. Doctrine that is taught and obeyed is what? The making of a garment. And the making of a garment is a cunning work of wisdom. They call it cunning work. Amen. It's also in this same Exodus. If you can look for the verse. When you were talking about the way the garment is made is by a cunning work. When they say they are making a garment, they don't make this kind of high priestly garments in the factory. It is a needle work. It is done personally. It's a needle work. You know, in factory, the idea of factory is that this mass reproduce. They don't mass reproduce our garments. Can we say amen?
Yeah.
Nature is a personal work. You know, we're a corporate people. I used to tell people, I said, that we have a corporate assembly, but in a corporate assembly, there's a corporate work going on. The corporate work is that they are teaching you truths, giving you doctrines. But the work is personalized. So there is a personal work in a corporate environment. So these garments here, they are customized. It is a work they are doing in you. They know how far they have gone in you. based on the level of yielding that you have given them. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the scripture. And these are the garments which thou shalt make. A breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre. All these are the fittings of the garment of the high priest. They can also, amen, they can also be regarded as the armors of God. What did I say they can be regarded as?
Armors of God.
It's all these things. So when you say, when Paul said, put on thy armor, put on the whole armor of God, he's talking about wear your garments. I'm going there. So, and can we say amen?
Amen.
And these are garments which thou shalt make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, a girdle, that thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me in the high priestly office. You know, we have a garment of a priest and the garment of an high priest. There is one that talks about cunning work. If you can look up for, thank you. Verse 6, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and what? Fine twined linen, with what? Cunning work. Everybody say cunning work. This cunning work is a work of wisdom. That is how they sew garments. That is how they do nature work in us. You know, when sin is also a cunning work, do you know that? There are natures that we carry. See, those natures that you carry are wiser than you. I'm telling you. With the work that was done inside us. So it will take a work of wisdom to undo that work. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's a cunning work. So in the sewing of garments or the weaving of natures of the kingdom, it is a cunning work. Christ is a level of work. But there is a work that is higher than Christ. It's called the work of the living God. The work of the living God is a higher work of wisdom in the soul that is a formation against gates of hell. Because gates of hell is also a work of wisdom. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Put on thy garments. Okay, now Psalm 110. Then we'll now go to Ephesians 6. Quickly. The Lord said to thy Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So I've explained this yesterday. The enemies are made footstool by teaching all things of God. Okay? So all things of God is what will make the enemies of God footstool. Those things must be unveiled to us. Then it says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of what? Zion. This Zion is a Zion that has been raised. The rod of strength, amen. Now, Zion is in several phases of our growth. We have Zion that is a new man. We have Zion that has been built up and carries glory. Psalm 102, I think verse 16. Check that scripture, if I'm right. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion. This is Christ that is being built. So you are first Christ. Then they will now build up Christ. So the building of Christ is the living God. When Christ has been built, or the Son of God is a building on Christ. So you are first Christ, then you are built up as a son of the living God. So when the Lord shall build up Zion, then he shall appear. Look at that. He shall appear in his glory. So this glory is a Zion that carries the glory of God. Can we say amen? There's not another Zion that carries the rod of strength. That is the Zion that has now morphed into a man-child that can now wield the rod of strength. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of thy enemies. The rod of strength is a power in eternal life that can only be wielded by someone wearing a garment of God in eternity. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You can't wield this rod of iron. You need apparatus, you need vestures of eternal life to wield the rod of iron. So, sir, in the book of Revelations 2 and 3, what they were giving them were garments of eternal life to all the seven churches. To a church, they said they will give her the white stone. To a church, they said they will give her the rod of iron. To a church, they said they will give her a full raiment. One church, they said you'll be clothed in white. I think that's the church in Sardis. Amen. I hope I'm not loading you too much. I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Give me the church in Sardis. Thank you. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. It shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I shall confess his name before what? My Father and his angels. So what is this white raiment? Because it is a garment they give overcomers. It's a reward. Hallelujah. It is a reward for overcoming. So it means that it is a garment in eternal life, which you must have to wield the rod of iron. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So all these things, they also work. They work at several levels of evolution in righteousness. So, rule in the midst of thy enemies. Now look at verse 3. I'm going somewhere. Thy people shall be what? Willing. Where? In the day of thy power. This is how the Lord spoke to me. He says, this year, he says, you have entered into the day of my power.
Amen.
This power is the power that will make men everlasting. Amen. That is the day we are in. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Meaning, the day of his power is the day of the unveiling of the wisdom for an heavenly dominion. This power here is a wisdom that will be taught to us, that will make us live the heavenly life naturally. So I say, you'll be able to live the heavenly life naturally. He says, so thy people shall be willing. I like the word thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Why? Power will be revealed.
Amen.
You know, there are forces that stops men not being willing.
Yeah.
Those are gates. Yeah. These gates are powers that stop willingness. They are powers that stop cooperation with God. So he says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Hallelujah. What will make them willing is that powers, heavenly powers will be taught that will decimate this power. Unwillingness is a power. Unbelief is a power. That was what warred the Hebrew church. They were brought into the season of salvation. They wanted to go back to milk. Powers were worrying them. What makes us unwilling to yield to God? Our powers. You just say, I don't really feel like, you know, I don't want to really go deep into that reverend, all that body stuff. Let me just fall out my peace. You see, that's a power. It has negotiated you away from your destiny. Pastor Mika was teaching us yesterday that this generation, we have a destiny. This is our destiny. Our destiny is to what? Come into the full inheritance of God's life. It's to come into that life that is in God. So anything that will make you not cooperate fully is a work of a power. This thing is too deep. Why don't you just take the one you need? Don't go fully into it. Don't identify. So just take what you need. Now, this is not the kind of message where you eat the flesh and throw away the bone. This kind of food, you eat it all. The bone, you will crush it. I know some people have heard it. He says, eat the flesh, throw away the bone. It's not with the doctrines of the kingdom. They are your destiny. You eat everything.
Yes,
as you eat, they cut covenant with you.
Yes,
covenant is not completed without fully eating.
Yes, sir.
You need to take it all. Eat it all.
Yes,
I'm not hearing the amen.
Yes,
so that people will be willing in the day of their power. What will make them willing are powers. Powers of doctrine. Powers of wisdom. Powers of revelation. Powers of sight. They will produce willingness. They will be breaking forces. You see these forces that don't make men willing. They are gates. That negotiate men away from their destiny in God. So, in the beauties of thy holiness. From the womb of the morning. That has what? That has the dew of thy youth. Everybody say beauties of holiness. Some one translation says, they call this beauty of holiness, garments of holiness. So this army, these people that will be willing in the day of the power, they will be arrayed in holy garments. Meaning that one of the things that will be done in the day of the power is the giving of garments. Garments will be given. You know, I told you how garments are given by teaching. Garments will be given in the day of power. Meaning, work of nature will be done in men. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, garments are given as covenants. Garments of glory are given, or garments of God are given, as covenants with hell and death are being broken. So as they are changing you, they are breaking covenants. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You know, some of us, we have unknown agreements with hell that we don't know. These things, that's why it's a mystery. Pastor Mika, sir, hell is a mystery. Unknown to man. You don't know it. So you don't know it. There needs to unveil the light of God for you to see it. And then disagree with it. You have to break covenant with hell. You have to break covenant with death. That death is a, even though we may not have yielded fully to the obedience that will give you death, but you somewhere you have the nature that can agree with it. That is what they want to do in the season of the day of God's power. They want to deal with that nature. Can we say amen? They want to take that thing away from us. That thing that can turn against God. When God shines His light, that cannot do God's will. That capacity to disobey God. That capacity that will not follow God to the end. Those things are natures in us. Paul said that he called it, amen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. He says, seeing that we have obtained this ministry, we have what? We have received mercy, and we faint not. For we have what? Renounce what? Hidden things of dishonesty. We have renounced it. What makes us renounce this is that this ministry of mercy is bringing light that can make you understand and renounce it. You can carry in the things of dishonesty without knowing. He said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. You know, when I look at this craftiness, it's that Paul will be stealing money. You know, it's not, that's not the craftiness. What kind of thing is Paul talking about here? Not walking craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves, what? To every man's what? Conscience, what? In the sight of God. So there is a ministry that is in the sight of God. When I say something is the sight of God, it brings the revelation of God. You have sight that God has. And it is able to now screen things in you that will not make God cut everlasting covenant with you. So what will make God not cut everlasting covenant with you? He's seeing things in you that can offend Him. He's seeing things in you that can offend Him. Can we say amen? So even after they have made you Christ, there are still things that they have to deal with inside you that can still offend the everlasting God. So they will now begin to bring light that will begin to what? Open you up to a season where you can be fully free. That is why teaching of Christ gives you liberty. But you are not still completely free. There is something called the perfect law of liberty. When they say something is perfect, it means that a complete work has been done. That can make you, it is a security for God inside man. The giving of the light of God is to make God secure in man. So what God is saying is that until I teach you my righteousness, I cannot secure myself in you. I cannot secure that I will land inside you. So something can still offend me until I teach you my way. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So in the day of the power of God, what will be made known is the way of God. That way of God will now make men be clothed in the garments of God that will make them wield God's nature as life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you go to war, okay, no worry. Let's just continue. Let me just touch a few verses there. And then we'll go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Take me back to KJV. Okay. In the womb of money, thou hast what? The dew of thy youth. I like this. It means that, amen, God will not just heal us, He will preserve us. He will preserve your soul. When your soul is preserved, you are a youth. Take me to Psalm 103. You are a youth. What makes you a youth is that you don't age anymore. Those are natures of everlasting life. Life that is incorruptible, undefiled, that word fadeth not away. That's a youthful life. Hallelujah. But you need to be administered. There's a life that does that. When we say armies of the living God, they are armies of youth. They have been renewed in the strength of their youth. It's not ordinary. It means certain things have gone, has happened to that soul. Desolations have been taken away. Laws that corrupt and destroy man has been taken away. Then those men have been preserved and become youthful men. Now take me to Psalm 103, amen, from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, what? Bless. I like the word. Bless His holy name. Amen. That is, we are called to bless God. Can we say amen? Amen? How do you bless God? You bless God by the work He has in you. What really blesses God is works in us. Blessed are the Lord, O ye angels, and all the works in places of His dominions. His works that bless God. Nothing will bless God in you if it's not a work of God. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now, how will the soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. These benefits are not ordinary. Those are benefits. These benefits are the revelation of God's life or revelation of God's righteousness to us. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord. I think in Psalm 68, we daily loads us with benefits. These benefits are daily revelations of God. These benefits are revelations of salvation. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefit. Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord, I think verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. I like the word loading. It's like they're installing things in you. Daily. That's what God told me. God told me, sir, that salvation is a daily thing. Like death and departure is also a daily thing. People are not always conscious of their day. You start getting conscious of your day. When you're in this order, you need to be wise. You need to redeem time because the day is evil. The days are evil. There are days in a day. There's something called the evil day. The evil day is the opposite of the day of God. The essence of the evil day is to stop the program of salvation. So, but you'll be wise with your day. Wisdom for day, you redeem time by obedience. That's how you redeem time. You are redeeming time means that you are saving your soul. So it is a wise soul that is redeeming time. He's saving the soul from the clutches of hell. So blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Even what? The God of our salvation. So who loads us with benefits? Now look at verse 20. He that is our God is what? The God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong what? Issues from death. The real translation is escape from death. Give me NKJV. Escape from death. Unto God the Lord. This is the Lord Almighty or the Father. Who is the everlasting God. So, the person that daily loves you with benefits is the God of salvation. That is saving your soul from death. Unto God the Lord belongs escape from death. The soul escapes from death by being loaded with revelations of salvation. Can we say amen? Amen. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah?
Unto God the Lord belongs. Our God is the God of salvation. Look at that. And to God the Lord belong what? Escapes. You can see plural. So you need many doses of salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To escape from death. This death is hell. So to escape from death, you need revelation of salvation, which are powers of heaven. Thank you. They are powers of heaven. They are revelations of salvation. Hallelujah. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. So all these benefits there are the revelations of salvation. That this God, so this God is talking about, this Lord is the God of salvation. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Now, why? Now, this God of salvation, now, this is now what he does. To save your soul. Who does what? Forgiveth all thy iniquities. So the God of salvation is a reconciler from iniquity. He saves your soul from death by forgiving your iniquity. Your iniquity are your hellish tendencies. What did I say your iniquities are? Who forgiveth all? Forgiveth means that they can remit it. The God of salvation can remit iniquity. Who forgiveth all, not some, all thy iniquities? Who was? Healeth all thy diseases. My wife said disease means anything that does not make you at ease. To be at ease is to be at peace. To be at ease. To be at ease with God is to be at peace with God. A disease is something that does not make you at peace with God. So, but you have revelations that in God that can heal you from diseases and iniquity. So you can see all the doctrines are here. Doctrine of Christ will heal you. Doctrine of the Father will redeem you from iniquity. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? You can see. Who redeemed you from this destruction is desolation. This is death also. So when they redeem you from destruction, who now crowned thee with what? Loving kindness and what? Tender mercies. Hallelujah. I like that. Those are operations of the living God. Loving kindness. And what? Tender mercies. Then now, what will now happen to you? Who now satisfy thy mouth with good things? These are things of God, things of glory. So that thy youth is what? Renewed like the eagles. He's talking about souls that will bless the Lord. Yeah. A soul that will bless the Lord has to be a renewed soul. Yeah. It's a youthful soul that is preserved. So they have sanctified that soul and they have also preserved it. So a preserved soul is a youth. Can we say amen? So all that will be in the armies of the living God, they will be youths. They will all be youthful in their soul. It's because they have been redeemed. They have been preserved. Hallelujah. Let's see the next verse. Now, when all that is done, the last verse now says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So it is a fully healed soul that can bless the Lord. Hallelujah. If the soul is not healed, we can't bless it. Bless the Lord, all the works in the place of the dominion. Bless the Lord. So what is even blessing the Lord is a work. It's a work of what? It's a work of salvation that has been done in the soul that can bless the Lord. So that soul has been saved fully. So when we say a soul is saved, a soul is heavenly. It's an heavenly soul that is a saved soul. That is a secured soul. They have secured that soul in God. That soul has now inherited, you want to say somebody has, when somebody has, how will I put it? How did the scripture put it? The land of the fathers. There are two lands. In Ezekiel 37, there's your own land, there's the father's land. The land of your father's land is the land of the inheritance. That's the land that they cut everlasting covenant with. It is such a soul that can what? It's a soul that can house God. When they say, God has covenant with you. It's a covenant that he will not change. There is a covenant that God can have with you and can still change his mind. So, the covenant of life and peace, even though it's a covenant, it's not an everlasting covenant. You can have the covenant of life and peace and still not cut covenant with what? With the God of salvation. So, the God of salvation has his own covenant. And that covenant, I believe, is what is going to give the armies of the living God. All of them will carry covenant of what? Everlasting God. They will carry the covenant of the everlasting God. What makes them armies? When they say armies, they have been armed with God. With the natures of God. Paul says, put on thy whole, the whole armor of God. So you have been putting off. A season now comes, you don't have to put on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. There's nobody that will be able to stand against the gates of God when they are open wide without this armor. These armors are given. As we do works of God, armors are given to us. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. So you can't stand against the evil day except you have this armor. The evil day is side by side with the day of God. So if you are not in the day of God, you are already in the evil day. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that he was talking about some that have been overtaken. He says, why some say peace and safety? Others will say sudden destruction. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall want come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That is a reality of some people. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. So, the evil day is a day that overtakes men. It's a day of evil. It's a day of destruction. But God will preserve us from that day. Can we say amen? He will bless us with the nature of salvation. And he will preserve us from the evil day. Can we say amen? I believe that God has already started raising that army. He's already started raising that army. You know what? Well, our prayer is that he will finish the work he has started. A time will come where God will now begin to deploy the army. This is how the Lord told me. He says that he will begin to send men as arks into nations. He called them ark men. These are men that carry covenant of God. So a time will come where missionaries we are sending are not just online missionaries. They are missionaries that are soldiers of the living God that will be sending and deploying to nations of the earth. And the day will come by God bringing the old nations under the glory of the God of heaven. Can we lift up our hands and begin to thank the Lord?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadie by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.